storm is rising against the privileged minority of the earth.
This is why I say it's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody.
This is an NBC News Hotline special report.
We're at a turning point in the history of this nation. We need to stand for freedom. There's an escalating authoritarianism and even a creeping fascism. Freedom is precious. If we don't fight for it, you lose it.
This much is clear.
We must rebel.
This is our country. We have always lived in it. We were happy. Then you came. We have to protect ourselves. We have to save our country. We have to fight for what is ours.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your brother, Brian Mirandese. Welcome to this Class War Battlefield Podcast episode. How y'all doing? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? So, I look at my role as a commentator. I look at my role as I'm supposed to say stuff that's difficult to say but needs to be said. So here's in thinking about what's been happening, all this interesting conversation that's happening all around the world and this country about Black Lives Mattering and everything of that sort, I've heard a slogan tossed around. Justice and equality. We are all about justice and equality. I was on my Amazon account, and I still use Amazon. It's hard not to these days because they own so many other companies, but I still use Amazon. Particularly, I like to buy a lot of books, and they typically have the books that I want to buy. But I saw them post on their front page, you know, they know obviously I'm an Afro-American, and they said, you know, Black Lives Matter, here's what we're doing. We're for justice and equality. And I thought to myself, this is the same company that fired a black man from New York City and denigrated him by saying that he was not that intelligent and that they were going to stress that. This is the same company that did that. And now, because they believe it is in their best interest for a public view, they believe that yes, Black Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter to us. They didn't care about black lives when they were making black people come to work in their Amazon plants in New York City without scrubbing them down after people were actually catching COVID-19. They didn't care about black lives then. So all this nonsense that all these businesses are floating about, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, shove it. You're mostly doing it for your bottom line. And trust me, in about 2 or 3 years, most of these companies are going to go back to acting like they normally act. So here's what needs to be said. And this is something that I think black folks don't typically say to white folks. Because we are so most black people are so into this concept of trying to make progress that we don't want to rock the boat. Well, at this moment in time, we need to rock the boat. Because white people, I ain't got no interest in being equal with you. You know why? Because your society has a degraded way of viewing life. I don't want to be equal with you. Unless you raise your standard of living and how you view life. I have no interest in becoming a mindless consumer who is interested in doing nothing but consuming for the sake of consuming. Even to the point of it being detrimental to who I am and to the life which my children and grandchildren may live. I have no interest in duplicating that life. And that's ultimately what equality means. I have no interest in basically becoming a drone for a corporation which doesn't give two craps on your life and on the way that you live unless it can make a profit off of it. I don't want to be equal with that. I have no interest in sharing a life that has been degraded to an existence where love is only expressive in materialistic things, where love is so degraded that it is for sale on every television station, on every internet site, on every commercial. Love doesn't mean anything is what I'm trying to tell you. I have no interest in becoming equal with a society that does not cherish, value, and strengthen families. And here, this is not a nod. This is not a nod to the right wing who has the concept correct, but the execution too authoritarian. It is wrong. I don't want to be equal with that. I have no interest in being equal with any of that. I don't want to be equal with a society that says to its coming generation, we hate you so much for being born that we aren't going to prepare the world for you. We are going to saddle you with so much debt that you're not going to be able to produce other human beings in a healthy, sustainable manner, so that you can actually create another generation of beings to make the world better. I don't want to be equal with a society that hates its youth almost as much as it hates its elders, its older people. I don't want to be equal with that. I don't want to be equal with a society that says, the more money I can make off of you and the more broken you become because I am making money off of you, the better off I am means the worse off that you are. That's a good thing. If I can break you down for my benefit, that's an awesome thing. I don't want to be equal to that. I don't want to be equal to that. I don't want to be equal to a people who still to this day is in denial, in complete 100% denial of why they had to come from Europe with swords blazing, crosses throwing all over the place. In order to take land that wasn't theirs, but that they wanted. Why did they have to do that? They can't even admit why. I don't want to be equal to a people who are so traumatized by something that they went through in the past that they can't even look it in the face. I don't want to be equal with a people who hate their own messiahs. They can't even admit that there's other messiahs after this guy who they can't even admit what color he is or was. I don't want to be equal to a society or to a people who are so ashamed of themselves, rightfully so, that they create language alterations, words to cover their shame. I'm colorblind. I don't see color. I don't want to be equal to a society that can offer platinum-based health care and educational opportunities to a few that do very little to earn them. and yet spit at everybody else who do the bulk of the work of the society and say, no, we need to struggle harder to get a little bit of education, to get a little bit of health care. I don't want to be equal with that. Why would I want to be equal with any of that? All of you want to talk about equality and justice, and you want me to be equal with people who have had 500 years of complete and utter control, with a lot of bloodshed, may I say, of this entire planet. Vast, what they call resources, natural extractions, to do whatever they wanted with. And the civilization that they built is so fragile that in 3 months, a virus, a microscopic thing, shatters it and makes it grind to a halt. Not only grind to a halt, but it grinds to a halt to the point where you are looking at massive, massive poverty from it. 500 years of building supposedly the greatest civilization that ever existed on this plane, and a microscopic little itty bitty thing has rendered your civilization motionless. I don't want to be equal with a people who can build something so shoddily. I don't want to be equal with a society that believes exploitation. And I kind of mentioned this before, but this bears repeating. Exploitation is the highest form of communication. I don't want to be equal to a society that believes competition is the highest form of relationship until you get to the elite. I don't want to be equal with a people who hate so deeply who they are that they themselves can't love anybody else. I don't want to be equal with them. Why would I want to be that? I once, you know, people always say that young people will tell the truth if you let them. And I think I was high school then. I think it was ninth grade. And this kid that I knew named Sammy Hilsinger. Don't know if you'll hear this. Doubt it. But I was walking home, or about to walk home anyway from school. And he called me, "Yo, man, can I walk with you?" I'm like, "Yeah, whatever, man, let's walk." So him and I were talking. And he says to me, he goes, "You know, I wish I was born black." Now this kid, you have to know this kid. He blackish hair. White as white can be. And he said to me, he goes, "I wish I was black." And I'm like, "Yo, man, you're actually pretty well liked here. So why are you telling me that?" And he's like, "Because I saw a bunch of, you know, black kids," and he listed them. I knew all of them. And he was like, "Yo, you know, they were talking, and this one kid, this white kid, you know, started running his mouth towards one of them, and the other four." I think they're actually, I'm sorry, the other six were like, yo, you ain't gonna do that to our boy. Because, you know, basically protecting the kid. And he was like, "Man, white people don't be doing that." And I'm like, "Man, white people be doing that all the time. Trust me, you do not want to be black." Now, this is before I had my awakening later on, but, you know, I was like, "You really don't want to be black." But he was not the first, nor the last, white person, male, female, who told me they wish they were black. And I got this through about 20, 425-ish was probably the last time when I had somebody tell me that. Even though periodically I still get people who tell me it, but they're young. It's a sign of a people who don't love themselves. It's a sign of a people who don't love themselves to think, I wish I was black. And this is something that white folks won't even talk about. That they don't love themselves. That they don't have a lot of confidence. That they really do have this fear of abandonment. Why would I want to be equal with a people who have such a disgusting view of themselves? Now look, ladies and gentlemen, understand this. I'm trying to get you to think here. Okay? Because we're in the year 2020. 2020 is about vision. It's a clear look at the problems of your society. That's how I want you to look at this year. The vision that we have internally will speak a lot to the future. And most of us, we don't have a real vision for this life other than we wish it was over. Well, we need to have a better vision for this society now. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. It's not about making white people feel bad. It's not about slamming white civilization. It's not about slamming white people and saying you've done nothing worth a damn. It's not about any of that. It's about trying to get you to wake up and get you to realize that you haven't been living to your fullest potential. Oftentimes, I think people, especially, well, definitely religious people, but people who read the Bible, they miss the point of the Bible. They miss the point of the Old versus the New Testament. You could read through the whole thing and miss the larger picture. Why was Jesus sent in the first place? Jesus was sent to tell the people, look, the stuff that you thought you needed to be doing, you didn't need to really be doing. You've lost the essence of what you were taught. You lost who you truthfully were. And you lost who you truthfully were because you've gone through all this stuff. And you didn't have to go through all this stuff. But way back when you made a mistake, and instead of correcting that mistake, which, you know, it was kind of a mortal one, you just kept piling onto that mistake. Until finally, the Most High looked down and said, this fool isn't going to get it. Let me pick you up out of here, put you into this predicament, and hopefully I'm going to be able to run you through the gauntlet and get you to a point where you will see. But you didn't see. So here I am to tell you that you've gotten it wrong. The result of him telling them that they got it wrong was he was killed. But that's the whole reason for the New Testament, is he was trying to show them and tell them that they had it wrong and they had to change because the ultimate result of what they were doing was not going to be beneficial. It was not going to be good. And if they didn't change, even Satan would step away and say, look, I don't got my fingerprints on this. That's you fools. And this is what I'm trying to get you guys to see. There's a lot about white civilization that could be positive, but you keep using it for negative ends. You keep using, and I'm sorry, you keep really using it as a negative mean. So for God's sake, we have electricity throughout this country. The pricing of electricity has not gone down. It has gone up. Why? Because people are greedy and want to make more money off of it. We live in an era where if you were paying for a full house more than $20 a month for electricity, you should be paying too much. The same goes with water. even with desalinization, if we were to desalinize most of the water that's used on this continent, even then, if you were spending more than $20 or $30 a year, or excuse me, a month, it should be too much. But there is these problems that have been indented in white folks for the last 8,000-9,000 years, and you've never gotten over them. I don't want to be equal with a people who cannot build a sustainable society, especially in America. I mean, for God's sakes, but over the last 100 years, you've had over 100 years, so 130, 140 years, you've had great people come to you and say, this is what you can do to reform your society and make it a lot better. And every single time, you have sided with the people who said, we are going to make it worse. Why do I want to be equal with the people who keep making those kind of decisions? I don't. Dr. King was sent to you, pleaded with you, begged you. You were too fat and happy to listen. And now many of you are dusting off his greatest hits, and now you want to start quoting some stuff that he said. Never realizing how late in the game it actually is. Most of your minds haven't changed. Most of you are just afraid that black people's minds have changed. I've told several of my friends that, and, you know, obviously I've made them very happy with saying it, but that's the problem today. Is most of this change is coming because white people are afraid that black people have changed. And we have changed. But the problem with fear is fear typically, when induced by momentary circumstances, subsides. And then you go back to either acting the way that you were before, or, and this is typically the MO of white folks in white society, or you seek revenge for feeling scared. And that makes you do things that are worse than what caused the action that made you afraid in the first place. White people have done this tons of time. I therefore reasonably expect that there will be, as Cornel West said recently, a backlash. And it's going to be bad. That's why I'm looking at all these things and saying, they don't matter. If your mind doesn't change, and it's not built around fear, like Roger Goodell, it's built around fear with him. Because as he put it, without black players, there ain't no NFL. You ain't lying. But if it's built around fear, then sooner or later that fear is going to subside and all those changes will be done. You got to change your mind by analyzing what your society is and where it should be and what it should be. If you can't do that, then there's going to be no real progress. There's going to be no real progress. None. And you're going to be worse off in the end than you started out in the beginning. Because black people are going to be frustrated. The few white people who are trying to change their minds and change everybody else's mind, they're going to be frustrated. And the people who are orchestrating the backlash, they're going to be emboldened. This is the danger. This is, after getting over what happened with George Floyd And I use that loosely because it's still in my mind and I haven't forgotten it, and it still hits me every time I think about that man saying mama. I started thinking past what was happening and what's likely to come. You have benevolent associations throughout this country who feel like they are under attack and under siege. These benevolent associations basically serve the role as kind of a union, some of them, a familial union for police officers. Whenever you have a military force that feels like it is under attack, yes, it may, for the time being, be under siege, and it may not have the capability to fight back because it is so under siege that to try to fight back would mean ultimate destruction. But a military force always saves its strength. So when the enemy believes that it is defeated, that's when it strikes. And it typically strikes in a stealthful manner. And it typically strikes without warning. And it usually overwhelms whatever it strikes. This is what I'm looking at for the future. And what I am fearful of actually happening. When Joe Biden proposes an increase in spending, not a decrease, Joe Biden is guaranteeing a crackdown of immense proportions. One that is seen and one that is unseen. Which is then going to shatter this country. Because black people's minds have changed. The worst thing you could do to any child, to any person really, is to show them that their life don't matter to you. Because what then do you have to lose? I heard somebody say that recently, and it's the truth. It's the truth. These people have shown to these black children that their parents' lives don't matter to them, that their lives don't matter to them. All of this stuff that is happening, when it starts to fade away in a couple of years, and hopefully I'm wrong. I'm hoping to God I'm wrong. But I've seen stuff like this before, this reactionary mechanism change suddenly. 5 years from now, when all this stuff starts fading and things start to go back to normal in the eyes of a lot of people, you're going to have a generation or more of people who are going to become disillusioned with America, and they ain't going to give you another chance to do what you did this time. So what I'm trying to beg you to do is to save yourself. Really examine what you are building and what you want to build. What you know, when everyone talks about equality and justice, basically what you're talking about is a period of reintegration of black people. Which, if you are honest with yourself and say, yes, that's what we're talking about is reintegration of black people, the question then that must be asked therefore is, well, two of them. One, what did integration mean the first time? Because Joe Biden told you, I think it was in 2017 when he was given a speech, which I've never been able to find the full version of, where he said that famous quote about he has no sympathy for young people. He actually said something after that, which people completely ignored, where he said, we did implement phase one of civil rights. And like nobody asked, wait a minute, what was phase one and what's phase two? Nobody asked that question. I heard it and my mind said, what was phase two and what the heck was phase one all about? You're integrated, but you have no power, maybe. That's what he was referring to. But honestly, what we're talking about is reintegrating black people into white society and forcing white society to take on greater numbers of them. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about black liberation. We're not talking about black economic development. We're not talking about black economic independence. We're talking about black people being further integrated into white society and white society not pretending like, you know, black people kind of exist on the fringes. That's what we're talking about. Well, just like in the 1960s and 70s, it took a while to actually get people to warm up to this idea. I'm going to wait and see how long it takes for people to stop being warm to the idea. Because there is nothing in the history of this country which says that that won't happen. In fact, everything points to it happening. Now, I want to talk also about, briefly about, the Confederate statues coming down and monuments and Christopher Columbus and things like that. This is another point of contention for me, because while I understand it, people do not I am well aware that there are societies that most people don't even know exist. Here, I'm not talking about the Freemasons, by the way. But societies that celebrate and keep alive the memory of the Civil War, and particularly the Confederate cause. When I was a young man, might have told this on another episode, when I was a young man, 17 to be exact, I was walking home with a friend. I had just moved back to my hometown, had walking home with a friend, and actually went past my house to walk to his house to get something so he could go to football practice, and white kid, by the way. Important, actually, very important. And in order to get to his back door, which is where he wanted to get to, we cut through a couple of people's yards that he knew, and then cut through his next door neighbor's garage, which, you know, he had a key to. So as we were cutting through that garage, we passed by, and he was talking to me, and I was talking to him, and he was talking to me. And so we passed by a workbench where I stopped dead looking at the workbench. He kept walking and all the way across the room to the door until he noticed I wasn't there anymore. And then he turned around and seen that I was staring at this Confederate flag that was hanging over this man's desk. And I looked at him and said, "What is that?" Now, this is New York State, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't like Southern New York State. This is close to Lake Ontario, New York State. I said, "What is that?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, neighbor, you know, loves its Confederate flag, blah, 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 yeah, 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 yeah." It was no big deal to him. It was a big deal to me. Now, later on, I found out that there was an active, though secretive, Klan group in that town. Klan ain't dead yet, y'all. I know there's groups around that keep this fire alive. And these groups are not going to be happy about these statues. What is going to be their response? I don't know. But I do know, and I do suspect, that there will be one. The question is, what will it look like, and what will the result of it be? I think this is going to be an interesting decade. Granted, we have to get through the rest of this year first, and whew, so much has happened and I can't even keep up half the time. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please reach out. Please reach out to me and let me know, because this is a heavy one, guys. I am your brother, Vimeo Deese. Thank you to Brad Friedman. Please keep up your work, man. I love you, man. I love your work. I really do. Brad Friedman, Desi Doyen over at the Bradcast. I love your work. You're an inspiration to me. You guys do great work over there, man. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Tim Black, Benjamin Dixon. Love both of y'all, man. I love both of y'all. Kyle Kalinske. Love you too, man. Michael Brooks, who's getting into that spiritual now, man. Starting to feel that burn. That spiritual itch, you know. When you talk to Cornel West, you know, he kind of lights something in you, doesn't he? Love you, bro. I love you, bro. You guys do good work, man. I love all you guys, really. I do. Crystal and Sagar, you guys frustrate the hell out of me, but I still like your stuff, too. Sagar, please, man, stop being just a little. Stop being less conservative, man. Just a little less conservative. A little bit less Tucker Carl conservative, man. It would help out a lot. Jimmy Dore, you a crazy white guy, but I still love you, too. Graham Elwood. Shave your knuckles for truth. Oh my God. Hilarious. Just hilarious. Graham Elwood, shave your knuckles for truth. I don't even know, but you sure, bro. I don't have any kind of hair on my knuckles, so I really can't. Karen Nicole Simpson. Oh, Simpson. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Nicole Sandler. Karen Nicole Sandler. Yeah, I like her show, too. Best of the Left podcast. Who else? Oh, Black Agenda Radio. Oh, my God. Where would I be without Black Agenda Radio? Where would I be? I know I'm forgetting some people. Lisa C. Who am I forgetting? Oh, Tom Hartman. God, I love you guys. And Progressive Soapbox, Jamal. Progressive Soapbox, man. You know, Democracy Now!, always Democracy Now!, lead stories, Sojourner Truth. I can keep going. But these are a lot of the people who I'm listening to right now. Michael Moore's podcast, I like his podcast. Useful Idiots, freaking awesome. Useful Idiots. And I also listen to some metaphysical stuff, guys, but, you know, we need to get into all that. I love these shows that I mentioned to you. They're really good. And as many of them as you can, please check them out. Seriously, Jimmy Dore, man, you need to smoke a little more weed. Anyway, I am done, y'all. I'm done. Questions, comments, concerns, reach out to me. I am your brother, Brian Merediz. I'll see you on the next one. Peace. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again. How the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lives in the balance. Thank you.